Bigger ones for the rabbi. Bigger yitzchak. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Hilchas Yontiv, Perek Revi, Halacha Aleph, Chapter 4, Law 1, and the Maznaim text on page 222. We're now going to discuss the issue of kindling. Okay, kindling a fire. So here we're going to clearly see the distinction right away in the first halacha. What we're going to do is we're going to try to get to the first six halachas, and then there's a lot of halacha lamaisa we have to look at. Very practical for Yom Tov.
Your side candles, you were going
to see. Yeah, hopefully we'll get to it today or tomorrow. We'll discuss that. Ein motzin esa esh. You're not allowed to bring forth fire, meaning to create a fire. Lo mino eitzim, not from trees or wood. Velo mino havanim, and not from stones. Velo mino matachos, and not from metal. What do you mean? Kigon, for example, shechochachim osam zubazu, where you rub them against each other, right? Just old-fashioned two sticks to make a fire, right? Oh, matu zubazu, or you hit them together, achetesesh, until a spark of fire comes out. And as well, the commentary says, similarly, to strike a match, to bring a fire from a match, you cannot do that on Yom Tov. And as well, and these are more, unusual ways, but v'chein haneft hachad biyoser, a combustible type of liquid or gas, shehu kamayim, that it's like water, so a liquid, very flammable, whatever. Shemenidin also, that when you shake it around, achetid like until it lights. So I don't know what it is, but anyway, I'm sure the scientists in the audience know. O kli zach kosha. Or you take a clear, hard utensil, oschuchis, or glass, malaya mayim, that's filled with water. Shemenech, so keneged ein Hashem, you should put it under a ray of the sun. You know, basically, or
like
a magnifying glass. Same idea, right? Achiyachzor nagel apishon, until you catch a spark to the flax and to light the material that way. Kiyetzba are any of those ways, v'yidlak, and it lights up fire. Kolze, anything, all these, kiyetzba are similar to that. Osir, b'yom tov, you cannot do this on Yom Tov. You may not start a fire on Yom Tov. Now look how the Rambam gives the reason. Shalohutar b'yom tov, what's allowed on Yom Tov? El lahavir me'esh mitzuyah, to transfer from an existing fire. Right? That is the chiddush of Yom Tov that you cannot do on Shabbos,
right?
To take a fire and to transfer fire. But to bring in, to make a fire, that's osur. That you can't do. Now look at the reason he gives. Because you could have done it from beforehand.
Yeah.
Remember the golden rule the Rambam says in Hilchos Yom Tov is that what you have to do on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. And if it wouldn't be good on Yom Tov, you don't. But that which you don't have to do on Yom Tov, you could have done before, why didn't you? Then you're not allowed to do it. So the Rambam is suggesting that, what do you mean? You could have made a fire before Yom Tov and just tend to it for the whole Yom Tov. Make a big, if you make those nice big campfires, you know, they will really burn well, a good 15, 16, 18 hours strong. So you can make that kind of fire. All you need is have a fire, and then you can transfer from that everything that you want. So this is the reason of the Rambam. So now, interesting, the other Meforshim, they bring down the Ravid and others. They disagree with the rationale. They say the reason is also because of Nolad. You brought something into existence that wasn't in before. No way you could have designated something that wasn't even made before the Yom Tov. Now, it's very interesting. There's a big difference between these opinions. What if, by mistake, you went and lit a fire on Yom Tov? Not on purpose, but by mistake. You thought it was okay, whatever. So now, would you be able to use that existing fire on Yom Tov? It's according to the Ravid that says it's no lodge. You brought something into being, then you can't benefit from that. But according to the Rambam, that's only because you should have done it the day before, then it would be allowed to make use of that fire. That'd be a big difference. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishavura paskin like the Rambam in this area, that if by mistake you lit it, you could make use of it on Yontif, which would not be the case on Shabbos. So if by mistake you turn the oven on, now don't become forgetful now, but if by mistake you turn the oven on, you could use it. That's the difference. On Shabbos, no way. Shabbos, you can't have any benefit from that, but on Yontif, when we possibly like this Rambam, that you can make use of that.
So I think when you transfer a flame to another candle, for example, that's not a new thing. That's an example.
No, the fire is the same fire. It's the same fire. It's just making more of it. If, when there was no fire, there's no fire, you're bringing from a state of no fire to yes fire, that's the problem. That is something you should have been able to, according to the Rambam at least, you should have had a fire going before Yontif, coming into the Yontif. Or according to the Ravid, it was Nolad. But once I have the fire, it doesn't matter if it's bigger or less, it's still the same fire.
But can you say that through
church? Well, look at, maybe we just, I know it's very exciting halachas, and but let's just do a few more, and then believe me, when we go through the Sefer, it should have, I hope, every question, because really there's quite a lot of good stuff over here. So let's just cover a little ground, and then if we don't get to your question, we will happily take it. Okay, but here's the first, so but you got the first rule, very important rule. Base. Afal pi shehutra havorah b'yontav shelo l'tzarech. Even though transferring fire is allowed on Yontav, not for kneading. What do you mean kneading? In other words, we have a rule by many of the malachas of Yontif. Once you're allowed to do it for food needs, you're allowed to, the malacha becomes permitted for other needs, Yontif needs, although they're not food needs. That's what it means, shalol letzar. It doesn't mean it's not needed at all, but it's not a food need. So now, even though you're allowed to transfer fire, even not for a food need, but osur lachavos esaish, you're not allowed to extinguish the fire, even though you lit it, you transferred the fire for the purpose of eating, but you cannot extinguish the fire. Why? And you might have thought I'd be allowed to do it, because if Hashem, the rabbis don't let me put it out, I'm not going to light it to begin with. You know, and this is one of the common questions that many of your wonderful wives ask. As you know, is there a way I could turn the oven off, get the oven turned off after, you know, on Yontif or with timers? I was all very nervous to leave any kind of fire on for 3 days. I don't know why. Hashem will protect us all, but somehow they're worried. But they always find ways. Well, maybe when I'm done, can I just, you know, turn it off or something like that? You want to leave it on? So that's what he's saying. Okay, well, we'll discuss this later in more detail. But in general, he's saying extinguishing is not allowed. Why? He says it clearly. Shakibui, extinguishing, it's a malacha, it's an activity. There's no food use for that at all. There's no need. You're not making the food any better by putting out the fire. So why does Ron have to say this? Because I might have thought, as we've seen in other cases, that if we wouldn't let you extinguish it, then the person might say, you know what, if that's the case already, I'm not even going to put on any fire at all. I'd rather have cold food the whole Yontif instead of running the risk that maybe when we're out in Shul, the house will burn down. Right? So they're saying, no, too bad. You cannot extinguish it. Okay. Now, the commentaries do say, though, that if the fire is very strong and it's damaging the food, it's a very high fire and it's damaging the food, or you wouldn't be able to cook this thing unless you, extinguish it, then there would be permissibility because then it's directly relating to the food. Okay, if it's mamish, it's a huge fire. You have nowhere else to put the food. Now, that'd be a rare case, because what do you mean? Just take the food out of the oven. But what if the oven is so fired up you can't get your hands into the oven, let's say? The old fashioned, you know, if it's fire all this, you can't get, unless I gotta put out the fire or I'm gonna have burnt food. Then that would be clearly a tzarech achila. So now you gotta start figuring out what would tzarech achilas be. So let's say, for example, you've got the oven. Okay, they got all kinds of ovens now. It's very complicated. It used to be real simple in the old days. Well, let's say, barring any technological issues, lights going on, whistles coming off, and in the pure sense of the halacha, you know, clearly there are times when you may raise the temperature of the oven, let's say. You're allowed to increase it for only in halachically permitted ways. And then you could decrease the fire too. If you got something cooked, it's supposed to be 350 for an hour, right? So you put it, raised it up to 350, let's say, and now the hour is up. So what are you supposed to do? Now you don't want to take it out. because you're not serving dinner for another hour.
Right.
So it's going to take it out now. It's going to be cold. You leave it in, it's going to burn. So then you could turn it down. And then we'll discuss in what situations maybe can you turn it off or not. But then you're turning it down for the express purpose that the food should not get damaged. That's a mamash, a tzorach achila. You can't say that's not tzorach achila.
You can't turn it down, though, just to save energy.
No, just to save energy, not. But you can, you know, do little tricks. I mean, you know, if you want to keep the food in the oven warm, you could have both things in mind. I don't want the food to burn, and I want to save energy. There's nothing wrong with wanting to save energy as long as it's within the guise of taking care of the food, which is legitimate. But if you don't have that, then that can be you wouldn't be allowed. We'll see.
We're going to get into this in more detail.
We're going to get into this more detail. I'm just giving a little bit of taste, right? Now, similarly, just like you're not allowed to extinguish a fire, so too you do not extinguish a candle, a flame. I mean, I suppose a roaring fire, and now we're talking about a flame, like from a candle or whatever. Why should we allow you to? So I give a simple example. It's in the bedroom. You want to go to sleep, right? You want to.
That's not for food purposes.
I understand, but you'd think, right? Because that would it's einig yontif. What are you talking about? How can I sleep with the lights on?
Yeah.
Right. So I'd like the lights off. But that's what he's saying is still not allowed. And we'll get into more detail and a couple more halachas on this last point. The imkiba. And what if you did extinguish it and somebody warned you and says, "Don't extinguish the fire." Like you get lashed. Kamisha Arig Obana, just like anybody who would weave or build or do any one of those classic malachas that are not permitted. Okay. Gimel. Further on the laws of a candle. A misalkin es pihaner lamala. We don't remove the wick that's floating, that's on, but with the oil, higher. Kadesha tichba, so that will naturally go out by itself. In other words, once you take the wick out of the, a little higher out from the rest of the oil, it will eventually go out very quickly. You can't do that. And you can't take oil out of the cup. So that if there's less oil, it will go out quicker. You don't cut the top of the wick off with a utensil. These are all methods to get the fire to end quickly. What you can do is, you can flick off some of the charred portion of the wick if you want. I don't know why. Maybe it's making the fire hard to light. Or I don't know why anybody would do it. I'm going to flick off a little bit of the black stuff on the wick because that's not going to put out the fire. Then that would be allowed.
So they're saying that doesn't shorten the duration?
No, that's not shortening it.
It's already burnt.
Next, aguda shel eitzim. How about a pile, a bundle of wood, shehud l'kabi medura, that's been lit as a torch. Now, what's happened now? So let's say you have a big pile of wood, and you put a match on, and let's say the left side of the wood is burning. The right side didn't yet catch. Now, of course, if you keep the bundle together, in the next 10 minutes, the whole thing's going to catch and go up. But it has not happened yet. So then, kol eitz lo achas bo eish, any tree, any piece of wood that hasn't caught onto the fire yet, muta l'shamta, you're allowed to remove it from the bundle. Then adoma l'meisr shemin aner. It's not compared to removing oil from the wick, because here he's not putting it out. He's just not allowing it to light to begin with. I guess he's making a distinction because the wood, every wood is a separate piece of wood. But the oil, you don't look at it, every drop of oil is a separate drop of oil. It's like one hunk of oil, so to speak. While the wood, every piece of wood is another piece of wood. So you get to that piece of wood, then it's not like
that. Similarly, coals, if they were coals, you could take them away.
Yep.
So he says, therefore, you're not extinguishing, you're just preventing from lighting.
Yeah, not letting it be light. But he's saying when the oil is all in one container.
Yeah, somehow that's one,
you know,
thing.
It's like
these
one piece. It's no
different.
Yeah, right. As opposed, let's say one huge log, and one side of the log's lit.
That's different.
You know? You can't. Yeah. Well, I'll chop off the other half of the log. I'll just get one chop, and I'll let the other. That you couldn't do either.
No, you're lumbered with the whole thing.
Yes. Dalit. Ein mechabin esat. Now, how about the following? Ein mechabin esat leka kedei lahatzel mamon. You can't put out a fire to save money beyontiv and yontiv. Keder shei mechabin shabbos, you're not allowed to take out a fire on Shabbos. El menicha, you let it go, v'yotze, and you leave. In other words, if God forbid there be a fire in your house, clearly there is a financial loss if the house would burn up. So the only thing you're allowed to do is leave.
Meals
and that, but you can't do anything to put out the fire.
Unless other people will be in danger.
Right. So then the Mishnah Berurah brings down, in the name of many of the commentaries, that there is a leniency nowadays to put out the fire, because if you don't put out the fire, you know, homes are, can catch on to other homes, mm-hmm. and there must be some elderly people who live in some of the homes in the city, and then you'd be putting other people's lives at risk, and if there's even the slightest chance that a human life is at risk, then you'd be allowed to put it out. So, again, you'd have to know the situation clearly when and you could or could not do that. If you're in a farmhouse far away from everybody and nobody's going to be in danger, then for sure you can't put it out. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is, I don't know. I wouldn't make a psak halacha, but even nowadays, I don't know if one house burns to the other one will be in danger. I don't know. I wouldn't be lenient in that area though.
In an apartment certainly.
Certainly, apartment would put everybody in danger. But even the houses here, they're pretty close to each other, and you know one could lie down to another one, and therefore you would use a shinui and call the fire department. If you have a goy, you'd ask a goy to call the fire department.
Ask them to put it out.
What?
Could you ask them to put it out?
You could ask a goy to put it out.
Sure.
Could put water all around it, or
like
you
what
could.
If you just had a fire
scenario? We'll see. He's gonna wait. Let's just go. He's gonna say a couple ideas right here. I think no. It was gonna.
And that would apply on Shabbos too.
Yeah, there's no different Shabbos and Yom Tov here. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I mean there are ways to get the fire out without doing a malacha. You know. I mean, on Yom Tov, you're a lot better off, because on Yom Tov, a chair caught on fire. Wait, I'm just giving an example. A chair caught on fire. So you could take the whole chair and take it out into the front yard. Which on Shabbos, you couldn't do. Right? So that, because it's muktzah. But that's not muktzah on Yom Tov. You're allowed to hold to the fires. We'll see in a minute. So you have more options on Yom Tov how to get rid of the problem. If, let's say, a curtain is on fire. So then you grab the curtain. And rip it off and take the curtain outside.
How is that different, a curtain on Shabbos than on Yom Tov?
Maybe on Shabbos you could do that, Taka. I don't know, because you're only touching the curtain. So maybe you could do that too. But it's a lot easier on Yom Tov, obviously.
Isn't a curtain muksa on Shabbos?
That's not really muksa. You ought to move a curtain on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So why can't you move a curtain?
Were you burning?
No, but...
But taking it outside, though.
Okay, that's a, you know, come and think of it. It could be it's muksa because of the fire that's attached
to it.
To it.
Well, yeah, so the curtain will be muksa too.
Unless you tie it, you're carrying the fire kalach or yad with a shinui.
How many people are going to have all that?
We don't have a normal way of carrying fire.
Is that the normal way to carry the fire out?
Do we have a normal way to carry fire on the curtain?
I know, that's what I don't understand.
I'm saying, so it would be a shinui though. I think it would be a legitimate shinui. No?
That's got a good point.
You know, and but if it's strictly for the leniency of human life, now if there's no other way to put it out, let's say
no human life, yes, you can do that.
So I'm saying nowadays we can, so let's say for example, let's stretch the example. Let's say there's a power outage and you can't call the fire department.
Okay.
So then you'd be allowed to put the fire out.
Yeah.
Straight. I mean, obviously it's better to call a goy. Better have a goy do it. Better call the fire department and all these things. But on the other hand, if these fires can spread quickly, then you could put it out yourself too.
It's pikuach nefesh.
Yes, but you know it's got to be a legitimate pikuach nefesh, which it would appear to be. So, but you know, also don't have the presence of mind. And usually, if that would happen, everybody just would put it out. I guarantee you. Every time it's happened two or three times in my life that I've been in a house. Thank God it never happened in my house. But I've been twice in other people's homes when it happened. I believe when it's happening there, I ain't telling them what to do. The rabbi told me my house burned up. So I remember one time the guy just instantly
it
caught on to something. I remember what it was. Candelabra. He just took the menorah, just took it outside before anybody could react. It was gone. It was finished. Another person just doused it before we could say anything. So it's like usually people don't have the presence of mind to follow the halacha. I guess the Chafetz Chaim would be able to know exactly, would be calm and would just analyze it as a halachic shayla. But
we're not quite there.
But you know, if it's pikuach nefesh, like if the fire could spread and kill people in the house, then you want your instantaneous reaction to take it is justified.
Yeah, so you have to know if it really is always. Sometimes it could be a very local fire. It's not a big deal. It's just one part. It's not going to catch on to anything else, and it will go out. Sometimes it's a kind of fire that can go out and isn't going to make a damage. Okay, we don't have enough time to analyze these situations. Usually when you see there's a fire, the first reaction is put it out. You know, on a Wednesday, you wouldn't analyze this. On a Wednesday, you'd immediately put it out. You don't think twice. So on Shabbos, it's hard to think that way. But anyway, that's what he says. Next. Now, Ve'ein mechaben es hanemri p'nei tash v'shamito. You're not allowed to extinguish a fire, even though that will allow intimacy to occur. One should not be intimate in a room where there is a lit candle and there's light. So the guy can figure, yeah, but it's a mitzvah to have intimacy, and now I can't put out the fire, and I'm going to lose the intimacy. So too bad. But there's other alternatives. First of all, you could put a utensil over it, so without smothering it, it would be extinguished, but that would cover the light, per se. Also, mechitza b'nei levein aner. Erect a barrier between the light and your bed, and therefore the light won't shine onto the bed. Or, remember, it's yontif, take it into another room. That's all. But to say, well, I'll just extinguish it, that you can't do. If for whatever reason you can't do the other three options we gave, you don't have utensil to cover, you don't have a machitza, you don't have another room, then you're not allowed to take it out, and you can't be intimate until it goes out by itself. Okay. Next. Hey. So, I mean, that's like the same idea. If you leave the lights on in the bedroom, it's not such an easy idea what to do. Okay. Mutter, let's hear it for the Shabbos lamp, right? Mutter letalta lasaner vehu dolek. You're allowed to carry a flame even though it is lit. Vein goes in, we don't make the following decree that we would have thought you would have made, that Shema Yichma may will go out. When you're carrying a candle, can you carry a candle on Yont? So you worry, if I walk too fast, the candle's going to go out. Let's make a decree. You can't move a candle, period. Because that way it'll never go out. So we do not make that decree. Because even if we go out, there'll be a dover she'enu miskavin, something that you're not intending to do.
You don't want it to go out.
And you don't even want it to go out. So therefore, that's where you're allowed to do it. But on the other hand, if a usher lahaniach es haner al gabe dekel, you can't put a flame on top of a palm tree. Why can't you do that? Because Shema Yavol Yishtamish B'Mechubri Yontif. Maybe you'll make use of that which is attached to the earth. Remember, we said you can't climb a tree on Shabbos. You might pull out a branch, pull out a leaf or a branch. So for that reason, you can't do that. Although technically, in terms of the fire, you could put it on a palm tree. But for the Isser of making use of a palm tree, you'd not be able to do it.
Why would you want to put a fire on a palm tree?
You want to get it out of your house. And the closest thing is a branch of a palm tree. I don't know.
Outside.
Or using it just to carry the fire.
You want a place to put the fire. And you got a nice branch sticking out of a palm tree, and you want it over there. Or it'll function as a lamppost. Whatever. Because you can't use it there. Vav. And Vav will be the source of all the lachas of cigarette smoking. Ein ma'ash, but you'll have to see. Ein ma'ash nim b'ktaris b'yantif. You cannot make a ktaris, an incense fire, on yantif. Why? Neshu mechab, because it puts out the fire. In other words, let's say you got some coals, and they're going to sprinkle on it some incense. The problem is, the moment you put the incense on, first, it extinguishes a little bit of the coal. That's where the smoke comes from. Now then the fire may resurge back, but temporarily you're extinguishing the flame. So, but you could think, wait a minute, but why using frankincense? That was the old-fashioned Glade air freshener, right? They didn't have a thing. How'd you freshen the room, right? You had your coals over there, you put a little frankincense, you have good smelling things, put it in, the smokes up, and it goes through the whole room, it smells very good. So you might think, wait a minute, isn't that a tzorech yontif? Isn't that a yontif need? I want my house to smell nice, there's nothing wrong with you. But we still say you can't do it because you're putting out a fire, and that's what he adds. He says, va'filu lahareach, but even you're doing because you want to enjoy the smell. Now, what's the problem here? The commentaries say that, remember, we said only that's allowed is called ochel nefesh, things that the human body benefits for. And there's one more thing that the rabbis say. It says, even though you could say, wait a minute, a nice smell. I enjoy the nice smell. So there's an interesting rule the rabbis say in the Talmud. It has to be something that most people would enjoy this. And the Gemara says, at least in the times of the Gemara, that only very delicate people needed to have this whole frankincense room. In other words, people could tolerate a room that doesn't smell the best. Okay, people who are very finicky, they want to have a very nice smelling house, so for that. But it was in the times of Gemara, it was a minority of people. So therefore, it wasn't something that it's called shovel akol, a universal need. Eating is a universal need. Certain things, you know, washing your hands is a universal need. Then the question becomes, well, you know, putting air freshener in your house, is that a universal need? Well, in the days of the Talmud, it wasn't. That's what they said. You know, most people didn't do it. People who were very finicky, they would do it. So for that reason, that's not enough of a universal need to allow this activity to happen.
I guess it's not a universal need, but I take it's a universal pleasure. Otherwise, you wouldn't make a bracha on it.
It's yeah, but is it something that people do regularly that they need?
Yeah,
it's only a certain select group of people who... Everybody eats. Last time I checked, everybody eats. Everybody needs to have lights. Right? Certain things, everybody needs warmth. Those are universal needs. You can't argue the fact. Everybody needs to wash their hands.
Yeah.
And you have dirty hands, you have everybody wash their hands. The question is, does everybody make frankincense on the coals? No! Most people in the days of Talmud didn't. And therefore,
it
wasn't.
Where? Like it was the outhouse or next to a slaughterhouse or something.
Okay, that could be. But he's just giving a general one. He's saying at the house, he's saying with Gamera Sabbat, right? Generally, you don't do it. This will become the whole issue. Is cigarette smoking, which we'll talk about late tomorrow probably, is that a universal need or not? I'm not going to say anything now. I'm just saying that you begin to see what the debate is, how universal is the needs. How about taking a shower? Is that a universal need? You know, are you allowed to take a shower in Yom Tov? Is that a universal need? All right, so those are some of the issues that this raises over here. Now, all the more so this was done, I guess, after a meal or whatever. That Gemara, remember, we had that with the Gemara. Where did we have that? I think we learned the laws of brachos, right? After a meal, some people who are finicky would make this mugmor, this smoke, and the guy,
right,
whoever makes a brach on the bench, he makes a brach on the on the mugmor, right? But it's not a universal need. That's coming back. It's coming back, right? Now, you can't do that, which is really a direct need. It goes without saying you're now out of the following, legamer sabayis, to make the house smell good. Forget about it. You want to have a nice smell. You want the house to smell good. That's like Caleb to make utensils smell good. She goes, that's for sure, also, because now you're fixing up the utensils, which is not a yontif need at all. Now, how about umutzah la'ashein tachas ha'peiros? But what if you want to make you want to smoke up under fruits, kadesh yichshu to make the fruits edible? I guess smoked fruits. Wait, they had smoked fruits. I guess they enjoyed smoked fruits. So kemoshimutzah litzos basar alayish, just like you're allowed to roast meat on a fire. I guess if most people like smoked fruits. So if it's smoked fruit, you're allowed to do that. Umematkin esachardel bekachelas shel mateches, and you can sweeten up a mustard seed with a glowing a metal. Okay, I guess you could. Avalo bekachelas shel eitz, but not of a glowing wood. Neishu mechaber, because when you put the mustard on it, it will extinguish it. The fire was on wood, but doesn't extinguish it when it is on metal. Ve'ein mechaber nesa eish. You can't put out a fire so that it shouldn't make smoky the pot or the house. In other words, just so it smokes up a little, yeah, it does not allow you to put out a fire. But if it would damage the food, as we said before, now remember, if it damages your house, it's too bad. It's, you know, something smoking out. You smoke it. Oh, it's getting a little bit out of control. It's too much smoke. Now, we're not talking about fire. Smoke. Your house will not burn down, but you'll have smoke damage. Clearly, the house won't burn down, but smoke damage. Too bad. It's just money. That's not. Although you could argue that point. You could argue that point. I don't know how well you could live in a house that smells all smoked up.
Smoke could choke to death.
No, more than that. It's, you have exposure to the smoke over time.
So, but I guess the kind of fire they had wasn't that severe. But if it burned the food, then certainly you could put that out. Okay, I think we're going to half an hour, yeah? Yeah, it's not, looks like we have, okay, so tomorrow we'll go... through the halachas. All right. We're going to do it all tomorrow.